Rodgers picks his way to the right and is tripped up, reaching for the end zone. Touchdown. What a start.
Give it to Reed, and there he goes. Nobody's going to catch him. Touchdown.
It's caught. Jeremiah Smith. Touchdown, Ohio State. The legend grows.
This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast. All right, welcome in everyone. This is Jared Palmgren, host of the Chasing the Natty podcast. Hope you guys are having a wonderful time on this Tuesday night. We are the College Fantasy Football Podcast on the Campus of Canton Podcast Network. You can find us on all of our... Oh my god, I'm off tonight. Give me a second, guys. You can find us on all of your podcast feeds and on YouTube every Monday morning and Tuesday night during the season. If you want to support the great work we do here, head on over to campusofcanton.com. Subscribe there with any of our phenomenal tiers. We got content ranging on all sorts of college football games, whether it is CFF, Devy, C2C, College IDP, College DFS, Underdog Best Ball. If you play it, then we've got content, whether it's tools, rankings, pretty much everything you need to succeed. In fact, if you are listening right now, you're going to get a little bit of a sneak peek to something that I am working on. But outside of that, if you want to support the show directly, make sure when you sign up for one of those yearly membership tiers at campusofcanton.com, you use the promo code Natty, N-A-T-T-Y, to get 10% off your yearly membership. Again, that is promo code Natty, N-A-T-T-Y. If you can't do that, just show us some love by leaving a like on the stream tonight. Make sure you comment during the chat, obviously, or if you listen to this later, make sure you leave a comment down below. Ask me all the start sit questions you want, and make sure you're subscribed on the YouTube side of things. On the podcast side of things, just leave a 5-star review. Make sure you are following the show. This, not only does that show us support, but also the entire game of college fantasy football in general, a ton of support. If you have any questions or want to get in touch for whatever reason, you can find me in the show on Twitter. I'm at @CFF_Jared. The show is at Chasing the Natty. Y'all, forgive me for all the technical issues we had here at the start of the show. I don't know why. I thought I had myself prepared, and then literally as the clock was hitting zero, I realized I had not sent a tweet out to let people know that we were going live. I forgot to hit record, so I had to restart the intro and everything, and now I'm flustered, and you guys heard me through that whole intro spiel. I'm trying to get myself back on track here, but welcome in, everybody. I appreciate all of you guys joining us here tonight. Again, we're far enough into the season that most of you pretty much know exactly what's going on here. A lot of you have already started leaving start sit questions in the chat, and we will definitely get to all of those as soon as we possibly can here. But yeah, that's pretty much what this is. This is a office hours sort of show. You guys come in here, ask questions. You guys ask, they don't have to be start sit questions. You guys can ask me just general questions in general about how you should feel about certain players and stuff like that. But before we get too deep into that tonight, I do want to provide a little teaser. So something I was working on a couple of weeks ago before, you know, everything happened was basically a rest of season rankings, which I did last year, but I'm really excited about them this year because one, I'm feeling a little bit better about them, and then two, I'm adding some more data that you guys, I think, will find very, very interesting, right? You'll be able to see some comparisons of, you know, what their points per game to this point in the season are compared to what their points per season might be towards the end of the season and stuff like that. So that's exciting. I'm excited to get that together. It's not quite ready to be published. I'm working out the kinks this week. Maybe we have them up by the end of this week. I don't know. That'll be up to the website management side of things, but I do want to highlight two players, right? So a lot of you will want to know with these rest of season rankings, you know, a lot of times they'll just kind of spit out like, hey, a guy's doing really well so far this season. He's likely going to do well at the end of the season. That makes a lot of sense, right? But these are really good at helping you kind of figure out some guys that might you know, blow up a little bit towards the end of the season or maybe disappoint towards the end of the season. And so I want to highlight two players here that really caught my eye as I was doing these rest of season rankings and projections here. And we'll start with a player that really has disappointed a ton so far this year, although he did have a really big blow up game this past week. And that is Anthony Hankerson. Hankerson currently RB27 on the season in total points, RB66 in fantasy points per game. Again, he's getting a huge bump from the fact that that Oregon State has had zero bye weeks so far. And he's at 14th fantasy points per game, right? Very disappointing season from Hankerson. Just overall, that team has not really looked great at all. But here's the thing. I did his projections, and my initial thought was, again, like, okay, he should definitely drop in terms of total points expected towards the end of the season, and he does. Projected-wise, in total points, he's RB39 compared to his RB27 so far this season. But I was shocked to see that his fantasy points per game projection jumps him up to RB12 among all running backs here, at 18.63 fantasy points per game. And that was shocking to me. But then I go and look at his schedule. My rest of season projections are heavily based off of the defensive performance rating that Nicholas Ian Allen gives over at C2C Winning Edge. And I did not realize that there is this huge gap between what Oregon State has faced so far in terms of rushing defenses compared to what they will face, right? To this point, Nick's defensive performance ratings are ratings out of 100, just like a grade, basically. To this point, the defenses that Hankerson has faced have averaged a score of 88.85 against the run. The rest of his four games here, Washington State, Sam Houston, Tulsa, and Washington State again, they average 80.29. That's a huge drop in terms of the teams that he will be facing. So if you have been disappointed by Hankerson, maybe don't drop him quite yet. There might be a couple of good weeks coming up here. Obviously, he did really well against Lafayette this past week. I mean, that's to be expected. It's an FCS opponent. They better do well in that game, right? But these last four games for Oregon State are much easier than the eight games they have played so far. And so, yeah, if you still have Hankerson, maybe don't drop him yet. If you see him out there on the waiver wire, probably worth a pickup. And then let's go to the other side of this. Let's talk about a player that has done extremely well so far that I was kind of shocked by how much they drop in my rest of season projections here. And I did double check, make sure there wasn't any fluky things going on here. But it is just the fact that their schedule up until this point against the pass has been super easy. And then their last five games here are much more difficult in terms of the secondaries that'll be facing, and that is Mekhi Lemon. Mekhi Lemon currently is wide receiver 3 in total points, and his currently wide receiver 5 in fantasy points per game. He's averaging over 20 fantasy points per game in half PPR formats, which is obviously fantastic. But then my projections came back, and he was projected as wide receiver 33 in total points the rest of the season, then wide receiver 29 in fantasy points per game. His fantasy points per game projected the last five games of the season here, 14.7 fantasy points per game. Now, that's not terrible. He's still a very startable option. But if you've kind of been relying on Lemon up until this point to kind of provide you that big boost for your team every single week, that may be gone in the next coming weeks. Because, again, with Hankerson, or similar to Hankerson, to this point, Mekhi Lemon's defensive performance against the pass from C2C Winning Edge, the teams he has faced has averaged a grade of 76.45, which is abysmal. He has just been taking advantage of a ton of terrible secondaries, which is obviously great to see. But the remaining five teams average a grade of 92.27. That's kind of a really scary jump in terms of the level of competition that he will be facing here soon. He's got Nebraska, Northwestern, Iowa, Oregon, UCLA, just a really tough gauntlet of good Big Ten secondaries here to finish the season. So yeah, if you got Mekhi Lemon, one, maybe trade him to somebody that, you know, is unsuspecting, but also two, like, you're going to want to make sure you beef up all those other positions right now. So that's my little tidbit. That was just something I really wanted to share with you guys. And again, hopefully I'll be able to get this full tool out to you guys sooner rather than later so that you guys can see all the things that I am looking at here and you can identify some of your own guys. So, all right. With that being said, let's get to the part that you guys really want to discuss tonight, and that is the start sit questions. Again, just real quick, everybody in the chat, you guys pretty much know the rules by now, but I have three basic rules when it comes to these start sit questions. One, no more than three players. I love helping you guys out, but I'm not setting your whole roster for you. Two, you need to tell me how many you need to start, whether that is starting one or starting two. And then also, if you can, give me those opponents. It helps out a ton. It makes it a lot easier for me. That way I don't have to waste time trying to look up opponents here while we do this. So let's go on all the way back to the start of the chat here. We'll start with Joe Webb3's question here. He says, hey man, I need to start one wide receiver in a half PPR format. Wyatt Young versus Charlotte this weekend, or Miles Davis versus Northwestern, or Amari Thomas versus Arizona State? Let us, as always, go ahead and plug these guys into our weekly projections over at campusdecanton.com, put together, thankfully, by our good friend Chris Moxley. He does a fantastic job on these every single weekend. I'm curious, off the top of my head, let's see where these projections have. They have Wyatt Young at wide receiver 16 with 15.74 fantasy points. Amari Thomas not that far behind with 14.23 fantasy points at wide receiver 31. Miles Davis pretty far down there at 12.39, although, again, both of the wide receivers definitely getting a boost because these projections are based on a full point per reception. You said that this is a half-point PPR league. The way I think about it is that Northwestern's going to absolutely North Texas is going to absolutely destroy Charlotte this weekend. Like, it won't even be close. That leads to a lot of variance. North Texas is a very hard team to kind of nail down this year. You got Miles Coleman, who might be out this week, but also might be back because he was listed on the depth chart. So that throws a huge wrench into things, right? And so I might avoid Wyatt Young just because of that. He's had some of these big blow-up games. If I remember correctly, he didn't actually have like a huge target share last week. Hold on, I gotta bring up Fantrax here real quick. Of course, it's gonna take forever to load. Yeah, so Wyatt Young. Yeah, I think he only had like, what, six? No, never mind, I'm a liar. He had 11 targets last week, 11 targets the week before, so that's obviously great, but then the weeks before, 2, 3, and 2. So again, huge variance there. I might just try to avoid that in general there, Joe. And that leaves Amari Thomas and then Miles Davis. Miles Davis isn't facing Northwestern. He's facing New Mexico. Dadgummit, Joe, you threw me off, man. Yeah, I might go Miles Davis here. Northwestern, it's supposed to be an extremely high-scoring game. Let's see what FanDuel has to say about that total. I'm fairly certain that it's in the 60s. Not North Mexico, New Mexico. I can't spell. Oh my god, y'all. Okay, what's going on here? Is this only Power 4 games that they have spreads for? Oh no, it's top 25. Ew. Yeah, let's fix that. There we go. Yeah. Over under 61.5. Miles Davis is still the number one back for Utah State, so I would go personally with him, try to get that cheat code. Although Amari Thomas versus Arizona State, also a pretty good option, I would say. Projections say go Wyatt, then Amari, then Miles. I personally say let's try to use the cheat code there. Next question here comes to us from Tom Cross. He says, hi, mate. Greetings from sunny UK. Greetings from across the pond, good sir. Got a question on my last flex spot. Standard PPR options. CJ Daniels versus Stanford. Corey Rucker versus Arkansas State. Corey Rucker going up against Georgia Southern, or Jacoby Williams going up against Oklahoma State. Once again, that Texas Tech-Oklahoma State matchup is definitely going to be quite lopsided, and so that's going to invite a ton, and I mean a ton of variance there. Meanwhile, Miami's going to try to get right in this game against Stanford this weekend, so I like CJ Daniels quite a bit. And I have to say, again, another guy that kind of popped on my rest of season rankings was CJ Daniels. I think he's rated in the top 10 maybe in terms of total points. Now, he is getting the boost because Miami doesn't have any bye weeks left. But even still, Let's see what projections have to say here. Projections have Williams as the highest rated guy here at 14.04. I know Dickey's like, let's see, what is Dickey at? Or where are these guys both rated at? Because I know Dickey, yeah, RB11 on the year, super explosive, right? And then Jacoby is not that far behind him, I don't think. Where are you, Jacoby? Oh, no, he's pretty far. Not pretty far down here, but, you know, RB47. So it's like they've gone back and forth in terms of whose week it is over there at Texas Tech. So I personally might avoid that. Meanwhile, full PPR, you got Corey Rucker, CJ Daniels. I think I'd go CJ Daniels this week. I mean, Malachi Toney got a ton of love last week in the game against Louisville. I think this is the kind of week where things kind of balance out and CJ Daniels has himself a really big week. So, Tom, I would personally go Daniels there. A lot of scoring opportunities against Stanford there. Let's go with that. He says, great to have you back. My first season playing C2C, you took over a shoddy orphan team, sitting at the top of the league with your advice. Well, I appreciate it, Tom. I'm glad you're doing really, really well. Let's see. Next question comes to us from Dan. He says, 2 flex spots, 1 point PPR. Sorry, I know it's 4 guys, but I'm torn. You know, Dan, I'm feeling generous tonight. Let's go with this. He says, Omega Blake going up against Auburn, Ruben Owens at LSU, Parker Kingston at Iowa State, or Amari Thomas at Arizona State University. I can tell you already that I'm going to start Amari Thomas out of that group. He has clearly become the wide receiver one for that Houston offense. Arizona State's got a decent defense, but nothing that I would say we are like super, super concerned about. So I would go with that. Meanwhile, Blake is going up against a really tough Auburn defense, so that's definitely something to be concerned. Ruben Owens, definitely the feature back as long as Le'Veon Moss is out, and he does get receptions, but that LSU defense, again, pretty solid against the run. Let me see. Where's LSU at? Yeah, they're top 40, so not anything that's like, you know, not anything that's like pure shutdown defense, I would say, for sure, but definitely something to be somewhat concerned about there. And then who's our fourth option here? Parker Kingston. What has Kingston done recently? I know he's performed well recently, but if I remember correctly, the volume from him isn't super great. Okay, never mind. Once again, I'm a liar. He's got one explosive game here against Arizona with 10 targets, but for the most part, you're relying on about 5 targets, 5 opportunities per game. He also gets a couple rushing attempts per game, especially around the goal line, which is definitely nice. And then, I forget, who did you say they were going up against? They're going up against like Iowa State. Again, not a super tough defense, but I think I have to agree with the projections here, though. Let me scroll down so you can actually see those. I'm going to go with Amari Thomas. Again, I like that matchup against Arizona State. Clear wide receiver one, full PPR format. Thomas is great. And then I think I'll go with the running back in Ruben Owens, who gets some receptions out of the backfield. Should be war against LSU. I think he'll have plenty of time or plenty of opportunities to get some scores in that game as well. So I will say I'm curious to see what the over-under in that game. Ooh, not great. 47.5. Let me check the BYU game, though. Around here somewhere. Yeah, also not particularly great in terms of over-under. And then I cannot imagine this Arkansas-Auburn game is looking great. I stand corrected. Maybe we do go with Omega. Well, Omega Blake hasn't really done super well recently, right? Like, I keep making these assumptions and I keep getting myself in trouble. Yeah, no, never mind. What am I talking about? He's had... Yeah, okay. I'm going to change my answer here. We're going to go with Thomas. We're going to go with Blake, especially in full PPR format. Just go with the 2 higher scoring matchups there, Dan. So, let's move on here. Let's go to Joshua Jeffcoat's question. He says, start 2 running backs, 6-point touchdowns, 1 point equals 10 yards. Okay, makes sense. I appreciate the standard scoring there. Darius Taylor going up against Iowa, or Relik Brown going up against Houston, or Raphael, the running back out of Cal, going up against Virginia Tech. Once again, let's plug these into projections here. I'm curious to see where these are at. My gut here... Oh, not Kadarius, just Darius. My gut here is saying to sit Raphael, but again, I do want to just see where we're at in terms of these in terms of these projections. Yeah, the projections, just going with my gut here, all of these guys are projected to do pretty well. Darius in the top 12 there, Relique and Rob Kendrick both top 30 running backs there. So according to projections, you can't really go that wrong. I mean, there's a point and a half difference between all three of these guys in terms of projections here, Josh. But I would say, one, let me take a look at Relique Brown recently. I cannot remember exactly what his volume has looked like recently. I know it's been pretty solid. 14 carries, 19 carries. Obviously not great in terms of efficiency against Texas Tech there, but you love to see the fact that, you know, three out of the last four games, he's had 20-plus touches. So he's a clear workhorse back for Arizona State at this point. Rest in peace, Kyson Brown, but Relique Brown's definitely taken over there. And I believe, if I remember correctly, Elliot Mays, who does great work over at Fantasy Points' CFB team, he put out his weighted opportunity graphic, and I do believe that Relique Brown was the number one guy on that graphic in terms of weighted opportunity. So yeah, I'm still leaning Relique Brown. I'm still leaning Darius Taylor. I want to see what FanDuel has to say about some of these matchups, though. I cannot imagine that Iowa-Minnesota is going to have a great over-under. Yeah, 38.5. But if you're looking at a team total here of, let's see, about two touchdowns for Minnesota, that's kind of a rough bet to try to make it to where you think that, Darius Taylor will get at least one of those touchdowns. If you get both, that's great. But we can definitely see. I'm kind of surprised this Arizona State-Houston game's not a higher over-under. That's definitely surprising to me. But Arizona State definitely has a higher team total there. So that's a point in favor of Relique Brown. Let's take a look at this Cal matchup. This Cal matchup might be the difference. Okay, it's not that's not that much higher. It's not that much higher. Virginia Tech's actually favored in this game. That's actually super interesting. I figured Cal would be favored. But De La Vie, again, all three kind of low-scoring matchups there. Rafael definitely gets the volume, but his efficiency is what worries me the most. So I'm going to stick with Taylor and Brown and agree with the projections here, Josh. Hope that answers your question. So next one. Quickly, Rishi says hello, chat. Rishi, I say hello to you, good sir. Andrew Bursey says, hey, Jared, full PPR league, would you start Jay Ducker versus Tulsa or Seth McGowan versus Tennessee this week? Once again, let's throw these into the projections here. Curious to see where these are at. McGowan is definitely a guy that continues to be kind of a steady Eddie. Projections, definitely agree with that. Again, about a solid 13.5 PPR points there. Jay Ducker, not that much ahead of him with 0.5%. I know that both Tulsa and Tennessee have struggled against the run this year. So let's take a look at their... Okay, Tennessee not as bad as I thought. I could have sworn I saw that Tennessee, like specifically against running backs, was struggling. Yeah, according to Fantrax, Tennessee is 108th in terms of giving up fantasy points to running backs in particular. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on there. Versus Ducker is going up against Tulsa this week. They're 114, so they're also pretty bad. But I think Tulsa, yeah, much worse just in general against the run, 124th. And then Ducker is, when he's actually facing good competition, he's getting some pretty decent volume. I obviously don't love that performance against UTSA a couple weeks ago, you know, 16 carries for 34 yards, but that's not going to happen with a defense that is as bad as Tulsa's is. So I'm personally going to lean towards Ducker here. McGowan should have a pretty fine game versus Tennessee, but that should end up being a relatively low scoring game if I remember correctly. Okay, 53.5 isn't terrible. But then let's see, what is Temple's game? Yeah, 54.5. Okay, so both these teams are both these games expected to be roughly the same scoring. I think I'm going to just lean towards the fact that Ducker is going up against the worst team on defense against the run just in general. So I think it's close, but that's just where I'm going with. I would go Ducker. Let's see. Next question here comes from the Headless Horseman. He says, SEC-only league, would you rather start the Oklahoma defense or the Texas A&M defense? Texas A&M defense by a good long shot. I don't trust any defense going up against Ole Miss. Trust me, I watched my dogs struggle immensely this past weekend to stop Lane Kiffin. I legitimately believe that he is the best play caller in the country, especially now that he has a headset directly to his quarterback, and he doesn't have to worry about having to communicate across the field to them. He can basically give his quarterback the answers every single play. He looks at what they have on defense. They can dial up a play for any of it. I'm not trusting any defense against Ole Miss. Meanwhile, that Texas A&M defense is going up against LSU. LSU has been struggling greatly on offense, just in general. And if I remember correctly, where is LSU? There it is. Yeah, pretty low scoring game expected here, 47.5. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Texas A&M is able to hold LSU under 20 points. Meanwhile, that Oklahoma game, let me take a look. I'm pretty sure that Oklahoma game, much, much higher scoring expected there. Okay, maybe not as much as I thought, 54.5, but I would be shocked personally if Oklahoma is able to keep Ole Miss under 20 points, just straight up. So yeah, I would go Texas A&M defense. Footballer One says, time to drop Miles Montgomery to scoop waiver ads. Chris Brazell as well. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate you, Footballer One. Thanks for joining in. And Footballer adds the context saying that he is in first place chasing some upside. I think that Brazell's still fine. I think you can definitely hold on to Brazell for the most part. Like, he was still getting targeted even in this game against Alabama this past week. Yeah, he had 8 targets, 7 catches, 66 yards. Didn't find the end zone, but again, he'll get back to that before this kind of slump here. The Arkansas game, super weird, by the way. Again, 1 catch for 5 yards. I don't know what the heck happened there, but the target volume has been consistent for Brazell, so I think he's definitely a keep. Montgomery is a little bit more interesting because dude never seems to find the end zone, unfortunately, but his volume's been pretty solid. Jaden Nixon's been a pain in the butt there. I don't really think either one's droppable. If you have to drop one, I would say go with Montgomery. But at the same time, like, you'd have to have some really good options on the waiver wire to pick up there, in my opinion. So that answers that question. Let's move on to J Army Train's question. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to take just a quick little 30-second break. I'll throw an ad up real quick, and then we will get right back to this. So give me 1 second. The timer on the screen is going to show 10 minutes. I promise you guys I will not be gone for 10 minutes. Just give me about 15 seconds to get in a break here. All right, we are back. Appreciate you guys, and sorry for the podcast listeners for the bit of dead air there, but, you know, got to have my water and got to check up on, you know, the Kennesaw State Owls. They're currently winning their game against FIU right now. Don't look now. They're close to first in the CUSA. I'm so proud of the Owls. Anyway, let's start the second half here with J Army Train's question. He says, "What's up, Jared? What's up, J Army Train?" One W from clinching the playoffs. I am happy to hear that, man. That is awesome. He says, no PPR on this question. Antoine Raymond versus Purdue, Kevon Lacy versus Oklahoma, or Darius Taylor versus Iowa. Start one might become start two depending on injuries. Thanks. So let's go ahead and plug in all three of those guys into our projections here. Let's see. Kevon, and then we got Darius Taylor. Wow, projections are, wow, this is actually super impressive, J Army Train. I don't think I've ever had this before where we have the number 11, 12, and 13 running backs in our projections. That is kind of crazy how that turned out there. Again, all three of these guys have been absolute beasts this year. Like, if I take a look at our season so far, yeah, Raymond's RB7, can't find, or obviously Taylor is pretty far down here because he missed a couple of games, right? But then who's our last guy? Oh, Kiwon. Oh, Kiwon's right here at RB9. Like, all three of these guys are beasts. They should do pretty well. So I think this is one of those deals where we're just going to have to take a look at these matchups. Obviously, again, this Oklahoma matchup, we already know, 54.5. We saw last week that even when Kiwon Lacy can't run the ball, they're not afraid to give it to him at the goal line. So he should still be able to fall into the end zone pretty well there. He's a good bet to score a touchdown at some point in this game. Iowa, Minnesota, definitely a bit more concerning in terms of that total over under there. And I do believe, looking at Darius's game since he has come back here, okay, yeah, he had a great weekend this past weekend, obviously, against Nebraska, which is a pretty good rushing defense as well. So that's definitely a good sign. But again, lower scoring game there definitely makes me worry. Meanwhile, let's take a look at this Rutgers-Purdue game. What kind of game can we expect here? Do they not have an over-under for Rutgers-Purdue this week? Hold on. Something's fishy. Something ain't adding up. No, they're definitely playing this week. Hold on, let's... When FanDuel fails us, let's just go to ESPN Bet. Y'all give me a second. They have failed me. They failed me. Never mind, let's not do ESPN Bet. Let's just do another one. DraftKings. All right. Come on. Load. Yeah, I think I'm still leaning definitely Lacy over Taylor just because of the higher scoring matchup, and we're crashing. Gotta love it. Okay. That's fine. This is fine. I can handle this. I'm a big boy. Or actually, let me take a look at Raymond real quick. What's his... Oh my god, nothing's loading anymore. Good lord, here we go. Yeah, I think we're still going to lean Lacy. Again, I mentioned that I love that Ole Miss offense, and I think they'll continue to do well, and Lacy will continue to be a beast versus, like... I'm flustered now because things don't work, and when things don't work, I get concerned. All right, Purdue is about 78th versus the run, so that's pretty solid. So you should expect basically an average performance for Raymond there. Oh, God, this is so hard, Jeremy Train. You got three really good dudes there. Out of this, we'll go with Lacy as you start one. If you have those injury concerns you mentioned in your question, don't be afraid to put in Antoine Raymond. I think you got three solid dudes here. So, continuing down here, Andrew Bursey, I think we already answered a question from you, so let's move on from there. And we might come back to you later. Rishi says, between Byron Brown versus Memphis and Caden Veltkamp versus Navy, who would you start at QB? I mean, Byron Brown's been so freaking hot lately, dude. Like, it is just absolutely insane. We got him projected. I don't even have to type his name in. He's right here at the top. QB2 on the week, projected 29.19 fantasy points versus, I do believe, Veltkamp. Veltkamp's been struggling recently, man. That FAU offense definitely not getting us the returns that we really wanted to start the season. Yeah, we got him at QB23. Byron Brown at QB2. Brown's got the rushing ability that can absolutely take over a game at any given point. So yeah, I would say definitely Brown. That USF Memphis game should be relatively high scoring as well. 63.5 over under. South Florida favored by 5.5. So lots of back and forth there. I think that's a pretty easy start Brown for me. David Braley says, can I still start Chris Brazell with confidence? I wouldn't say with confidence, but I think he's still a very startable option. And against a Kentucky team whose defense is, you know, not bad per se, but definitely struggling compared to recent years. Pretty average against the pass. I've given up about 229 yards per game. I think that Brazell is pretty startable there. But then you were asking, do we go with Jordan Hudson? Jordan Hudson, if I remember correctly, has a much better matchup against Wake Forest this week. I would say that I'm still going to be on that Josh Heupel offense there. Again, Jordan Hudson obviously had two great back-to-back weeks. I definitely recommended him on the show earlier this week. But, you know, he's still kind of competing with Brinson there. I mean, to be fair, Brezel is competing with Brandon Staley for targets over at Tennessee. But, you know, Brezel is still their deep threat. He can definitely take the top off of defense at any given time. So I would still go Brezel over Hudson for right now, although I think both of them are pretty solid. So. Let's see, more questions here. Felipe Mendoza says, glad to see you back and hoping all is going well, Jared. Appreciate that, Felipe. Just wanted to ask, would you start Kiwon Lacy on the road versus Oklahoma or McGowan for Kentucky at home versus Tennessee? Thanks as always, and go Dogs. Go Dogs, good sir. I would just go with Lacy. I think this is one of those where you could kind of play the matchup a little bit because that Oklahoma defense is pretty solid, right? But I just think that Lacy's just so much a better talent than McGowan, right? McGowan can definitely, like, Tennessee's defense is pretty poor, don't get me wrong, but I could see McGowan putting up a real stinker in this matchup versus Lacy. I trust just a little bit more. Projections show that out as well. Again, Lacy top 12 running back for us this week, meanwhile Seth McGowan down here at RB50 with, you know, about 2.5 points fantasy points less projected. So that's just my initial thought there, Felipe, and that's where I would go. Just start your stud. Start the guy who's the top 10 back in CFF right now. Because that's, like, Oklahoma's defense, right? Like, wrong. Yeah, they're number 4 versus the pass, but against the run, they're number 3. That's, okay, that's a little rough. But also, that's why the over-under in that game is lower than you would think, right, in the 50s. We're still expecting Ole Miss to put up by 24 to 27 points. So I would bet good money that Lacy is at least one of those touchdowns to get them there. So let's see any more questions here. Todd Skid says, well, Jared, I need a miracle. 8-0 trying to stay undefeated. Hey, man, that's always a good feeling. Like, if you're 8-0 at this point, you're feeling pretty good about your team, right? Almost everyone I value has a bye week, so I need a running back, wide receiver, and a flex. Duncan Brune versus Eastern Michigan, Aaron Taylor or Aaron Turner versus UConn, or Nick McMillan versus Akron, or Keegan Johnson versus Utah State. Okay, sorry to break the rules. I am needy. Again, I'm feeling a little generous tonight. You guys have been good to me, so I'll be good to you. My initial thought is that Keegan Johnson is an easy start at wide receiver there. He has had some really decent volume. Hasn't had great production recently, but, you know, trying to pull up his stats here. Yeah, he's had, 37 targets in the last 3 games. Like, that's not, obviously, you don't love the fact that he only had 38 yards versus Boise and 26 yards versus Nevada, but you keep getting volume like that, and I especially if this is a PPR league, I think you just got to keep relying on that. And running back and a flex. So I guess I have to pick 2 wide receivers here. Keyshawn Singleton versus Memphis, just kind of shoot for the high upside scoring game. And then, I mean, the only running back, well, you gave me, isn't Aaron Turner technically, like, doesn't he have running back eligibility? He does. Yeah, I don't really believe that much in Aaron Turner, so, but Bruden's the backup at Ohio, so it's like, I don't know, man. I guess ride Bruden and just start him at running back, and this might be a week, man, where you just got to take it. You take the loss and you just move on. Tyler says, hey, Jared, speaking of buys, so many buys this week, I don't really have any questions for you. You know, that's totally fair because, you know, you just get to a point with your teams where there's literally nobody else you can start. So, totally, totally understandable. Alrighty. Question here from Aaron says, running back Reuben Owens or wide receiver Jeremy Bernard versus South Carolina, my flex spot, 0.5 PPR. Let's throw this into the projections here. Reuben Owens projected for 14.24 fantasy points. I'm a little worried about that LSU defense, right? But he's been pretty solid. And then Jeremy Bernard projected for 16.1 fantasy or 16.2 fantasy points. So obviously, our projections like him a lot more. He's wide receiver 11 in our projections this week, which is, I don't want to say it's kind of crazy, but he was off to a really, really hot start this year. I think that's part of it kind of going in there. He's had pretty solid volume over the last couple of weeks, you know, 17 targets in three games, over 10 fantasy points in every single game this year except for one. I was trying to make sure I was looking at that at a half point PPR format, and that is correct. And so, yeah, I would say let's go with Bernard there over Owens, because again, I'm just concerned about that A&M offense being shut down a little bit more by that LSU defense than we're normally used to. Although Owens, I think, is still a pretty good start, but Bernard going up against that South Carolina defense, I think, should be pretty, pretty solid. So, yeah. All right, we're at, let's see, what time is it? 8:42. I think I can go back and hit up some more questions that some people asked, like some secondary questions. So I'll look through there. If you guys got more questions, go ahead and throw them into the chat. Again, we got plenty of time tonight. I was burning through those today. I can also, because I kind of teased the rest of season like rankings and projections earlier, if you guys got any questions on that, like, I'm willing to kind of hand out some stuff on that tonight as well. So if you guys want to have a certain player that you're curious about, like, let me know. Other than that, like, I'll go back in the chat here, see if there's any questions that I missed here. Okay, we'll start with Andrew Bursey's question here. He says, if you take second questions this evening, Messemaker versus Charlotte or Fagnano versus Rice? Oh, that is a tough one, because again, obviously Messemaker should do very well against North Texas this week, although it could turn into another running back touchdown fest for North Texas. Meanwhile, Fagnano, yeah, projected a little bit lower. Rice, a pretty solid defense there. Let me take a look at what the over-unders in those games are. Yeah, 48.5 versus the team total on North Texas, I have to imagine, is very, very high. Yeah, over-under 16.5. They're favored by almost 30 points. North Texas should score a ton of points in that game. So, yeah, I think we just go with the team that's likely going to score more points there, Andrew. Let's see. I'm trying to look through, make sure I get everybody's question here. Let's see. Now, somebody had another question. I know Andrew had a secondary question. Rishi might have had a secondary question here. Oh, yeah, Rishi says, not a start-sit question, but how do you feel about Desmond Reed and Denzel Boston for Jeremiah Smith trade? Getting JJ helps my bye week situation. I have Kentrell Bullock and Caleb Hawkins at running back. I mean, yeah, Reed could definitely pop off the rest of the season, but he's also got that injury that's kind of nagging and can very much make or break whatever he deals with every single week. So kind of getting rid of that and kind of locking down Jeremiah Smith every single week. And then, let's see, where is Denzel Boston this year? I don't think he's quite near the top. He's wide receiver 22. So yeah, if you get rid of Reed, he's definitely not a liability, but a question mark, and you give them a pretty solid wide receiver in Boston, and lock down a guy like Jeremiah Smith, who's top six in wide receivers so far, I would say that would be a very good trade for you. I just don't know if the person on the other end is going to be receptive for that. You might have already made this trade, so I might be just talking out of my butt on that part. But I just know on the other side, I might take that shot of like locking, like, tearing down a wide receiver and then taking the shot on Desmond Reed, who definitely has a huge upside whenever he does play, right? Like, let's see. Like, in the 1 week that Desmond Reed came back and played, yeah, bro put up 36 points, right? Yeah, 19.3, 14 points, 3 points the week he got injured, out, came back, 36 points, injured again. Should probably put this on the screen, that way you guys can see it. Sorry. Injured again, so 3.8 fantasy points. But again, if he gets healthy again, he always has that upside that can help out a lot. So yeah, I mean, I think that could be a win-win trade for you, Rishi. So, yeah, again, I'm just trying to go through the chat, make sure there's nobody that I have skipped over here. I'm fairly certain I've got everything? Tom Cross, way back at the beginning, says that if you have time for second questions, which we do, he's got a really nice QB problem to have. 4-point passing touchdowns. Start two, Blake Horvath versus Florida Atlantic, Colton Joseph versus App State, Bryson Barnes versus New Mexico. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Thanks, man. That is a good question. I know, yeah, Colton Joseph is our QB1 for this week. I have to imagine that Horvath is pretty far up there. The FAU defense is pretty horrendous. And then Barnes is going, good problem to have here, man. Let's take a look at the projections here. App State, the over-unders here. App State, over-under 62.5 in this game. Old Dominion favored by 2 touchdowns, so Colton Joseph should get plenty of points in that one, so that's not really worrisome. I know that Utah State, New Mexico is expected to be really high-scoring. Let's see, Navy, Florida Atlantic, also expected to be very high-scoring, 62.5. Navy favored by 2 touchdowns there. I don't know, man. This is literally just spin the wheel and pick two. I really don't see how it goes wrong. I guess all three of these guys are rushing threats, right? But let me take a look. I think Barnes of the three has the least rushing on the year. He has 363 versus like Joseph, I think, is already close to 500. Yeah, 498. Wow, nailed that one, Jerry. Great job. Yeah, I would just go with the two guys that have a little bit more rushing floor to them, and Horvath and Joseph, and just go from there. All right, I see a couple people making some comments down below. Todd Skiss says, my guy's on bye, Alonzo Barnett. Oh, he's just listing all the guys that are on bye this week. Yeah, bro, it is pretty rough for byes this week. Jamry Train says, what do you think of Katron Allen rest of season over Antoine Raymond, especially for the playoffs? Okay, there we go. I like this question here. Let's go take a look at what my rest of season rankings are taking a look at there. My rest of season rankings currently have Antoine Raymond as my RB13 in total fantasy points and RB10 in fantasy points per game. Katron Allen a little bit lower there at RB20 in terms of total fantasy points and RB16 and fantasy points per game. So they're very much in the same tier, but you're asking about playoffs. So let me do the math real quick on those two guys. I'm going to assume that your playoffs are the last, you know what? I'll give you both. Let's do the last 3 weeks here real quick. So Raymond, we get you the total points for him. So Raymond is missing that week 12, so that could be huge in terms of whether or not you have playoffs that week or not. And total fantasy points in the playoff, Raymond is expected to score 37.5 versus Katron Allen does play all 3 weeks. So let's do the final 2 weeks first, which, yeah, Katron Allen is currently projected to do just a little bit better in those final 2 weeks than Antoine Raymond by about 3 points. And then if your playoffs are, you know, week 12 through 14, then, yeah, Katron Allen's going to help you out a lot more just by the mere fact that he will be able to play all three of those weeks. So, Risha says, this is kind of a very late question as Kajon Owens is playing right now, but between Kajon Owens and Kendrell Bullock, who would you have started this week? I don't think you really have a bad choice between those two, but I'm just curious. Projections are saying, yeah, Bullock at a little bit lower than Owens. Owens is already off to a really good start. I saw that he scored the 40-yard touchdown against Kennesaw State there. So I think both of them will finish roughly around the same spot. I think whichever one you picked, you're probably okay with. So, all right. I'll go ahead and give this. Yeah, Owens has like 17 right now, but I ended up starting Bullock. Hope that ends up well. Yeah, let's take a look at that Georgia State matchup, or that South Alabama matchup. They're playing Georgia State. Yeah, over under 55.5. South Alabama favored by a touchdown. I think there should be plenty of scoring opportunities. I don't think you should feel too bad about Bullock in that matchup, especially if Bishop Davenport continues to struggle. I think that they're going to rely on Bullock quite a bit moving forward. So, yeah. All right. Yeah, we got about 8 minutes left. Best rest of season fantasy defenses. Ah, David. That is unfortunately the one thing I've not put together is rest of season fantasy defenses. That involves a whole set of different data than I have been able to put together. But I don't have a really good answer for that, David, unfortunately. Sorry, man. I don't want to just start pulling things out of my butt here. Okay, any other, or this week or next week, again, let me take a look at what our CFF guide had to say way back when, because that gives a pretty good idea. All right, so week 9, obviously this week, I mentioned a couple earlier this week, but ones that stand out to me here are, Louisville versus Boston College, Boise State versus Nevada, and then next week, some good matchups there. Notre Dame versus Boston College should be pretty solid. Michigan versus Purdue, I think, will be pretty good there. Memphis versus Rice, especially if Rice, I'm curious to see how Rice performs this weekend if Chase Jenkins is not able to go, because if that tanks that entire offense, that could be another defensive cheat code going forward. All right, Rishi says, I guess on that same note, if you wouldn't mind doing a best rest of season between Owens and Bullock, I'll probably start Caleb Hodkins at RB1, but then RB2 is open between those two and Jaden Baugh. I would say, yeah, let's go ahead and take a look at rest of season rankings for those two guys. Again, I'm not going to put these up quite on the board yet for you guys. I know Kajon Owens very, very, my rest of season projections do like him quite a bit, especially in total points because he has, I don't think he has any bye weeks left. So he's RB12 in total points for me and RB27 in fantasy points per game. Meanwhile, Bullock is definitely a little farther down here in, RB29 in total points, but he's actually a little higher than Owens in terms of fantasy points per game at 26. So again, not that that helps you too much, Rishi, but Not that helps you too much, Rishi, but again, they're right next to each other in terms of fantasy points per game the rest of the way for my rest of season rankings. So, as a bonus, let me take a look at Jaden Baugh as well. Baugh's definitely a tier below those guys at RB36 in total points and RB34 in fantasy points per game. So, all right, if y'all don't have any other questions, you got about 30 seconds here before I start closing this out, but I'll take 15 seconds to get a sip of water. If there's no more questions between now and then, we can wrap this up. So, yeah, I agree. It's just going to come down week to week between Owens and Bullock, and you're just going to have to look at those matchups every single week. So, all right. Based on what I'm seeing, I don't see any more questions. So, we'll go ahead and wrap this up. You guys have been awesome tonight. Really appreciate all the different questions. And again, if you guys like the rest of season questions, we can definitely continue to do that as we go along, as the season comes to a close. I do think that's very, very fun discussions going there. But with that, we have come to the end of our show. Appreciate you guys for listening. If you have not already, make sure you leave a like, a comment, and subscribe. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you're on the podcast side of things, make sure you follow the show and leave a 5-star review wherever you can. Make sure you guys check out the rest of the Campus to Canton Podcast Network for shows ranging on pretty much anything you could think of related to the college fantasy game. And unless I speak to you in DMs or something, we'll see you guys back here next Monday where we will discuss a whole new set of waiver wire pickups. It's going to be hard going forward, but we'll definitely make it through. And I wish you all the best of luck in your matchups this weekend and, the rest of the season as you get ready for your playoff pushes. You guys are awesome. Appreciate you guys. Have a wonderful week. Bless y'all.